Isn't this a sports show?
Being like a sports talk radio show host used to be what I wanted to do with my life. It used to be very exciting to me.
Almost entirely.
I want to yell at little kids. I want to tell little kids that they suck.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You suck. You're adopted. Your mom's too hot for your dad. She's going to leave him soon. Get ready for it. Who do you like spending your weekends with better, your mom or your dad?
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
This is a template on how to lose your show before Alex Cook loses his job.
We got time.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Is there a word that means both love and hate in someone?
I that the show.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Well, we could start this show with singing, with analysis, with careful, delicate breakdowns. But in reality, I'm going to start this show, obviously, by tooting my own horn. Did you see the last tweet that I had last night? Last tweet of the evening? He said, for what it's worth, based on what Brett Veach has said this offseason and a general hunch, I get the feeling that the Chiefs are going to make a wide receiver splash bigger than Albert Wilson. Think they see it as a place with room for improvement and Mahomes' development. I sent that out last night. And I wake up this morning to the news that I was right. Also, technically, the news that Sammy Watkins is a Chief. But most importantly, the news that I was right. Boom! Nailed it. Toot my own horn. But really, I'm assuming you haven't been under a rock. I'm assuming this isn't the first time that you've heard that the Chiefs have signed Sammy Watkins, but they have. Also, they signed Anthony Hitchens, an inside linebacker, who would have taken this whole show if this would have happened at any other day. We'll talk about him later on. We'll talk about where the Chiefs go in the offseason altogether now, because I think the offseason plan is, at this point, extremely clear. But Sammy Watkins is story 1A today, and I came into this with some hesitance. I came into this, I've been talking about Sammy Watkins for the last couple weeks here and there, saying I have some hesitation with Watkins. And I'll go through all that in just a second. But first, we have to acknowledge that Brett Veach said the offense was going to be retooled for Patrick Mahomes. And now Sammy Watkins is now this team's third or fourth point of focus. I mean, that's terrifying. But it should terrify the rest of football. So let's talk about Sammy Watkins, gosh dang it. It's a three-year, $48 million contract with $30 million guaranteed. So basically, it's a two-year, $30 million contract. And if you're worried about paying Sammy Watkins $14 to $16 million this year, I get it. It's a lot of money for a guy that hasn't ever fully achieved. Here's how you feel better. Keep in mind that Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill this year will be making certainly no more than $17 million combined. It'll probably be less than that, depending on how the contract stacked up. Because, like, oh, $15 million for the two of those guys combined? That is thievery. And you know why I never stop talking about the value of a young quarterback on a rookie deal? I talk about this constantly. If you're new to the show today, because of news, welcome in. I do this a lot. If you have listened to me for a while, you're nodding your head going, yes, I get it. I know. You never shut up about quarterback value. This is why I do it, though. Because the salary of Patrick Mahomes plus Sammy Watkins is roughly the salary of Alex Smith or now, like, Case Keenum. Any other kind of non-elite passable quarterback. It's the salary of those of Mahomes and Watkins is the salary of Alex Smith. Mahomes and Watkins combined, salary of Alex Smith. That's why you can afford to do this. And that's why I never freaking shut up about the value of having a quarterback on a rookie deal. And it's why you shouldn't sign Case Keenum. Then you should just draft Baker Mayfield. But thankfully, John Elway and I don't see eye to eye. We'll talk about that maybe more later. We might not get to that till tomorrow. Who knows? This is the Sammy Watkins Show. But I want to play a game with Sammy Watkins first. And I won't give you my answer until I give you time to think of yours, so play along. Word association game, Sammy Watkins, go. One word, two words, quick phrase. What is your word association answer for Sammy Watkins? Now, admittedly, I had time to think about this. But for me, the word that was there as the knee-jerk response, and even was there after thinking about it a little longer, being an outsider from situations in Buffalo and Los Angeles, the word that I came up with was underachieved. He was the fourth overall pick in Buffalo. The Bills traded up to get him. He never made that team great. The Rams traded for him. He didn't do much in Los Angeles last year. So that's why my thought is underachieved. That's my word association answer. But whenever a wide receiver underachieves, you've got to figure out how to locate the cause of underachieving. You also have to figure out what can be some false reasons for equating underachieving to a receiver who actually which is in a bad situation. So that's been my goal today. From 8:30 this morning until now, I've been trying to figure out how and why Sammy Watkins is an underachiever in the eyes of most. He had 1 year with over 1,000 yards receiving, but his first two seasons he had a total of 2,000 yards, a little bit over. It was very, very close to having two separate 1,000-yard seasons. So that gets thrown out there a little bit. It's a little unfair. But more importantly, Watkins has spent his entire career with quarterbacks who haven't had the skill sets to use him in his most explosive way. Not with quarterbacks that have had the skill sets to maximize his potential. He's still had some impressive production whenever he's been healthy. But Sammy Watkins spent the vast majority of his Bills career with Tyrod Taylor, who more or less evolved into Alex Smith. And again, Watkins had 2,000 yards receiving in his first two seasons, combined, obviously. He averaged about 16 yards per reception in those two seasons as well, which is almost exactly what Tyreek Hill averaged last year. His 1,000-yard season in year two came in only 13 games, and then he played only 8 games in 2016, was traded to the Rams right before the season last year, and then last year in Los Angeles, he just never really found the spot in the offense. Though he did last year stay healthy, which is important. So you may ask, what are you getting at?
What are you getting at, Josh?
Well, let's look at the tape. We can't assess Sammy Watkins based on the offenses that he's been in. We should be assessing him. And we'll probably talk to Seth Kizer tomorrow. I mean, I haven't even asked him yet, but I think every time I've asked him, he's been like, yeah, sure, that's fine. And you can go read his full Sammy Watkins breakdown on Arrowhead Pride. But I'm going to do the thing that I, in my millennial radio attention span, tend to do, which is to jump to the conclusion. These are the last four paragraphs of Seth's breakdown, Arrowhead Pride. Please go read it, click his links, and read the logic behind this conclusion. But I am skipping to the end. Normally, this is the part of the article where I would talk about the weaknesses I saw in film. This is a great intro to a paragraph because you know where he's going. The problem with watching Watkins is that there really weren't any significant weaknesses that I could identify. He can get beat by a really good press, but that's true of literally any receiver in the NFL. He has good quickness, runs routes well, has explosive acceleration, Great top end speed, catches the ball well, tracks throws down the field, knows where to go against the zone, and isn't afraid to get physical. He's also a very willing blocker from the limited snaps I watched. In short, I'm a Watkins convert. I have no idea what it'll look like on the field, but Watkins was much, much more impressive than I expected on film. And I went into it with pretty high hopes. His box score last year wasn't anything to write home about, but his film absolutely was. The Chiefs now boast the absolute best skill position group in the NFL. Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Sammy Watkins are unmatched across the league. Only Pittsburgh is even close, really. If Mahomes is even 80% of what I think he might be, this is going to be an incredibly fun offense to watch. That is the eminently reasonable Seth Kizer. This offense next year is going to be better than the offense was this year.
Clinton asked if we're going to be scoring 50 points a game next year.
Yeah, there was a good, I had a good joke on Twitter where someone asked over under 760 points. And I just responded with per game. That is the thought. But really, I mean, if Patrick Mahomes is competent, if Pat Mahomes is exactly what we saw in week 17, which is a rookie in his first start making some mistakes, also making some great plays, if he is that exact quarterback for 16 games this year, Chiefs offense is going to be better. Also, spare me your cries of, well, he's got more weapons than Alex Smith does, and you... Mm-mm. I will not abide this branch of conversation. Because if you're really stepping to me with that, you haven't been listening. One of the reasons that I've been saying Mahomes, move on from Alex Smith, is because of the flexibility that it gives you. These moves they're making are because of the youth movement, and in large part because they moved on from Alex Smith. This offense next year, I try to not dive into hyperbole. I'm not going to tell you right now this team's going to win the AFC West because I don't know that. And I'm not going to tell you things that I don't believe either. And if I tell you something I do believe, I'm going to have a reason for it. And if I don't believe something terribly strongly, you probably can figure that out. Because I'm willing to be reasonable. It's an underserved community in sports radio, I find. People who are willing to be reasonable and accept new information.
How dare you?
Right. Oh, you're soft. You changed your opinion when you acquired new information? Shame on you. So I'm willing to be reasonable, and I hope that with me saying that over and over, that you can also acknowledge that my optimism is reasonable. And my obsession on the salary cap and the importance of rookie quarterbacks, that is also very much based in reason. This is why you move on to Pat Mahomes even before you see Pat Mahomes play. This offense is going to be better next year if Patrick Mahomes is the guy we saw against the Broncos making his first career start. And I think that privately, the Chiefs would say they expect more than that. I don't know that. Those aren't rumblings. But it's the attitude that I've gotten from a lot of things that have come out through this organization this offseason. This offense is shooting for the moon. And they should. Because as we talked about a lot recently, you don't get enough time in the NFL with a market inefficiency like an overperforming rookie quarterback or an overperforming rookie contract quarterback. You don't get a very large window of time. You don't get enough time there to say, all right, we've got this huge market inefficiency. Let's plan to win with this guy 3 years from now. 3 years from now, the market inefficiency isn't so glaring. And so when you've already burned 1 year of Mahomes, you've got to get ready to go for the next one. And I still think right now the Chiefs are probably 2 years away from being a Super Bowl contender. You get a full year of Mahomes on the field, another year to bolster up the defense. You keep adding weapons. Maybe you build the offensive line if you want to make some changes after this year. 2019, this team is a Super Bowl contending in the plan. 2018, there's no reason the expectations for 2018 should be to take an offensive step backwards. The defense is going through evolutions. But even the defense, I think we might be able to argue, is going to have a better starting point than where they finished last year. In fact, that's true. This defense week one this year will have more talent than the defense against the Titans did. Anyway, we'll get back to the defense more in a minute. But let's talk more about the offense. First of all, on Sammy Watkins, this stunned me a week or so ago looking into free agency. I brought it up again today. Sam Mellinger talked about it on the A-Team podcast. By the way, quick timeout, quick endorsement to somebody that we're not affiliated with at all. If you don't listen to the emergency podcasts that the Kansas City Star A-Team does, which is Therese Paylor and Sam Mellinger and Blair Kirkhoff and Vahe Gregorian, if you don't listen to those whenever things happen, you are cheating yourself. I tweeted this earlier. If everybody in Kansas City listened to those four guys talk before we came out with our own spicy hot takes, this city would be in better shape. Like, we would be a better community. And they podcast it out. I watched it live, but they podcast it out. Go listen. Because they've got information, man. And perspective that is fantastic. If you want to have an informed opinion, start there. And then come be entertained by me. Or turn me off and go listen to them. That's fine. Whatever. I don't blame you. Yeah, I don't blame you for doing that. Like, I get it. But Mellinger also said this on the show today. He said, I was stunned whenever I found out that Sammy Watkins is 24. And this is something I've been talking about. I've talked about this for a little while. It feels like Sammy Watkins has been in the league for a decade. But he and Tyreek Hill are the same age. Patrick Mahomes and Kareem Hunt are 22. This offense would have to ask Travis Kelce to rent a car for them. Although, thanks to joke killer Scott Chasen, who fired right back whenever I tweeted that out and said that you can actually rent a car at 23 now in most states. So, thanks, Scott, for fixing my joke.
We didn't ask you, Scott.
No kidding. Wet blanket. Scott Chasen, more like Scott chasing him out of my mentions, am I right? But that's wild! The number one and number two receivers on this team, both locked up long, like pretty long term now for multiple more seasons. And the quarterback and the running back are 24, 24, 22, and 22. That is your physical prime, although not for all of us. I'm 23, and I feel like I peaked in high school physically. Not altogether. I think I'm smarter now than I was in high school. Probably. Don't test me, though. Yeah, I mean, it's questionable. Charlie and Beards are both in the control room right now. Our median age is higher than the median age of Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, and Kareem Hunt. And do any of the three of us feel like we've really, like, got it together? The answer is no. I can answer that for you. Like, one of you guys can chime in, but the answer is no. Sammy Watkins is 24. He's been in this league for 1,000 years. But he was one of the youngest players in the history of football whenever he came into the league. He's been in the league for 4 years. And I think he'll be 25 whenever the season actually starts. Also, though, you're getting Sammy Watkins on a 3-year deal. His deal is up whenever he's as old as Travis Kelce is right now. How does that one taste? That goes down pretty smooth, right? Sammy Watkins' deal will be up whenever he is the age that Travis Kelce is right now. Prime window. So the Chiefs did a thing here where Jordy Nelson just got cut today, right? Jordy Nelson's been in the league for 10 years. Same as Sammy Watkins, inside somehow. He's been in the league for 10 years. If the Chiefs would have gone out and signed Jordy Nelson today, I would have been like, it's fine. It helps. It's better than Albert Wilson, I guess. But it doesn't really seem to fit in the plan.
He's a name.
Yeah, he'll bring something. I'd rather lean on him than whatever DeMarcus Robinson is your, like, you know, wide receiver three. But the reason that Sammy Watkins was so dang expensive is because he is a receiver in his prime. The only reason we're concerned by that, or that we're confused by that, is because he spent more years in the NFL than we expect for a guy his age. Like, Tyreek Hill was, you know, jumping around like school to school and playing different levels of college ball and getting expelled from places. So he's young. Sammy Watkins is old. They're both 24. And if you zoom out for a second, good God, this offense is going to be made of fireworks this year. Like, I'm not even speculating on results. Just like with the players currently here, we're just snorting firecrackers. By the way, if Odell Beckham wants to come, he can. That wasn't even a written joke. That was one I just thought of. Snorting firecrackers, Odell Beckham, because he's... All right. We also have pizza. Not here, but in Kansas City. So, Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins can stretch the field and outrun probably every defender in football at this point. And Patrick Mahomes can reach those guys 60 yards downfield because Patrick Mahomes is a cyborg. And this is something that Therese Paylor said in the Facebook Live today. Actually, this might have even have been on Twitter. I can't remember. Trez was all over. So when defenses have to play too deep, which you have to do to keep Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill from destroying your defense, then that pulls the safeties back. What does that do for the rest of the defense? Well, then there's no more stacking the box. And then what's the weakest point on this offense right now? It's probably the interior offensive line. Well, the interior offensive line doesn't have to do so much everything with their hands up, hands full constantly, because teams are stacking the box and daring Alex Smith to beat them deep. That's gone. That's over. Stretch the field, force two deep safeties, and if they don't, touchdown. I mean, nice. And then the box opens up. Kareem Hunt is going to have a fantastic season next year. And then it also opens up everything underneath. Now, there have been some people tweeting about, you know, who feels like the Albert Wilson role next year. And I want to explain this and how I am 0% worried about it. Therese talked about how Hill and Watkins and Chris Conley can line up anywhere. And we know that Chris Conley is a short to intermediate route runner. This is what I've been saying all offseason about this offense. And I feel pretty good because this is one place where, like, Seth and I disagreed a little bit. It was like, what about our receiver? He's like, I don't really care about receivers. They're fine. And then, like, totally reasonable. But I feel like I've been kind of on an island with this. And this is what I've been saying this whole time. Chris Conley and DeMarcus Robinson as your third and fourth pass catchers, not great. As a 4-5 behind Kelce and Hill and Watkins, now you are playing fantasy football. Like, if you had a fantasy football roster last year with Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, you'd be like, oh, that's a pretty good team. That's a good start. Hope running back's good. And Kareem Hunt, like, you're playing fantasy football. And so, teach you something. Some of you don't need to be taught things. Some of you might not have thought of this. So let me try to bring you into something where we can kill a misconception together. Come on in. We'll gather on the campfire. Let's brutally murder a misconception. Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins have all of the speed and agility in the world. Whenever Andy Reid wants to exploit the underneath of a defense or the middle of a field, those guys can do it as well as anyone in football. You don't have to be Wes Welker to do that. You don't have to be short and slow and white and gritty to play slot in the NFL. In fact, you shouldn't be. I can't remember who I was talking about this with, but we were talking about Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant could extend his career by 5 years by moving into the slot. Larry Fitzgerald has done that. Larry Fitzgerald has been an extremely productive receiver out of the slot recently because his speed has left him, but everything else about his game is still there. You don't need the speed and the physicality to play in the slot, but man, if you've got it. So I've been skeptical of the fit of Chris Conley in this offense, short term and long term. But if you put Conley and Robinson in the slot, which they can and will have to do, then this offense becomes a mismatch factory. Do not worry about the size of your slot receivers. Because just imagine this against the Chiefs defense just for kicks here. Last year's, you know what? And we're going to give you the ideal Chiefs defense, okay? Marcus Peters and Kendall Fuller opposite each other. This was the defense for like an hour and a half. And you've got Steven Nelson in the slot. This is a really good trio of cornerbacks. You know, fine. You know, actually, let's make it the Rams. This game's going to happen. Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib. We're still going to use Steven Nelson for an example in this slot. You got Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill on either side. Both of them are going deep. Got to play two safeties at least to account for the possibility that they do. In the slot, you got Chris Conley. A perfectly passable possession receiver. Not a guy that I want as my number two, but a perfectly good number three, a guy who plays in the slot. We're going four wide today, so we've got Travis Kelce in the other one. Empty backfield, four wide, shotgun. Two deep safeties, they're in a nickel. Actually, they'd be in a dime probably at this point. They're filling up with defensive backs. And Mahomes can sit back there before the snap and just go, all right, I know before the snap comes where this ball is going. Because there is no way in hell that a single covered Travis Kelce or Chris Conley in the slot up against some other team's third and fourth best cornerbacks is not going to end up being open 2 seconds after the play starts. Not with Andy Reid scheming it up. I mean, we could do this in Madden and it would work. But you got Andy Reid, whose like whole deal is his ability to scheme people open. This is embarrassing. This is an embarrassment of riches. So don't worry about adding, you know, Danny Amendola, who is now in Miami and will do nothing while he's there. I look forward to the end of the Ryan Tannehill era, though. I kind of like Tannehill, but it's not going to happen. Sorry. Poor Dolphins. They just keep losing good players and signing Danny Amendolas. But don't yearn for a Danny Amendola or an Albert Wilson. Because whenever you have enough wide receiver talent to move DeMarcus Robinson and Chris Conley inside, because you've got Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce already locked into their places in this offense, Albert Wilson should be the last of your worries. It's an unbelievable setup. I've never been this excited about a Chiefs offense. That's outside of the quarterback. Yes, Beards, and we have to take a break. I can read the clock, and I know how radio works. Thank you, though, for your hand signals. It's just, I'm obviously thrilled about Patrick Mahomes, in case you've missed the last, I don't know, year?
Really?
Year and a couple months of shows? Almost a year. Almost a calendar year of shows. Although, actually, by mid-March last year, I was talking about Patrick Mahomes. So this is probably like our one-year anniversary.
What are you going to get him?
Sammy Watkins. Brett had to pay for it, but actually Clark had to pay for it. Brett picked it up from the store. So, I picked it out.
So you just bring it to him, basically?
Yeah, I'm going to
gift wrap Sammy Watkins.
No, I'm gonna bridal carry Sammy Watkins and deliver him to Patrick Mahomes' door for our anniversary. You've really been recycling intros a lot lately, so I wanted to give you something to work with there. Also, Last Week On Yesterday was great.
Thanks.
Yeah. There was no Last Week On Yesterday. I'm thrilled about this offense outside of Patrick Mahomes. With him being the one that's using all of these weapons, the ceiling rises another 10 feet. I'm excited. Have I mentioned I'm excited? I'm excited. By the way, all of the worries about Sammy Watkins, totally understandable, totally justifiable. The underachieving and the injuries, although he was healthy last year, and we talked about why the underachieving existed, because Tyrod Taylor and Jared Goff, and he never fit in with the Rams last year. I get it. That notwithstanding, or maybe that withstanding, that aside, this is a good gamble. This is a smart investment. If he's unproductive for 2 years, then yeah, this really hurts your window next year. But he doesn't. I clicked the volume up on Highly Questionable for 2 seconds when they were talking about Sammy Watkins, and it was Lebatard and Jemele Hill. And Jemele Hill said he's not going to go have an Odell Beckham season. And then at that moment, I chortled. A humph. Yeah, no, of course not. Because Sammy Watkins, this is wild, okay? And feel free to, whatever, tweet me, I guess. Sammy Watkins is the third best pass catcher on this team. Which is insane! Because he's got $30 million guaranteed. He's got guaranteed $30 million. And he's the third best pass catcher on the team. So, you don't have to worry about him having an Odell Beckham season. He is served just fine by having a Sammy Watkins season. And this Chiefs offense could mean anything. Like, this team could have 3,000-yard receivers this year. And Patrick Mahomes is going to throw 75 touchdowns. To answer the question on Twitter that I got earlier today, the Chiefs will score over 750 points this season per game.
Very quickly before we go to break, Jason texted me earlier. I didn't see this.
Who
until
wants
now.
To take a break now, huh? I had a thing.
Jason texted me earlier when we were talking about the ages of all these guys.
Just couldn't have waited till next segment.
Fit now. I'm Watkins plus Hunt old. Still don't have it together.
I wish you would have said that like in an actual human voice in a way that would have been less jarring. You want to read it again? You slurred your word. Have you been doing shots before the show?
Unless somebody put something in my cherry limeade here, I don't think so.
Okay, so one more time with the reading, please.
I'm Watkins plus Hunt old, says Jason.
Got it.
Still don't have it together.
Got it. That's funny. Too bad your delivery was so terrible. Also, we could have come back from the next break with that, and it would have been funny.
We've got 48 comments. We'll be doing that next segment.
Oh, Lord. I want to talk about Anthony Hitchens. 48? That's a lot. All right, I'll be reading those during the commercial break, I suppose. Thanks for, you took the wind right out of my sails, man. I was a locomotive for 35 minutes. I was so jacked about this topic. And I throw it a break, and you just go, excuse me, actually, I have a text to read that I have to read right now. It is very urgent. That is the impression I do, by the way, whenever I am quoting you to other people.
Hello, I'm Beard McFly. I don't know what this voice is based on, but it's just what I is what Beard sounds like in my head.
I'm also out of jokes. My jokes, I used all my jokes already. We need to take a break, and I wanted to. And you ruined it, Beards.
It's what I'm here for.
That's the opposite of what you're here for. So upsetting. This is like I opened my Christmas present, and like I just opened a Christmas present, and then my brother just threw a tomato at my head. Go, Christmas morning, yay! Look at, oh, it's a new Tonka truck! Just throws a Tonka truck out the window, gives me a brake sign, hits in the face with a tomato. Thanks, Beards. What a gift.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Let's go to the comments. Let's all go to the comments. I can't see the comments. Beards, what does it say?
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
All right, we only have a couple more minutes here. I don't know, 10 minutes or so left. Talking Chiefs. And then we change gears. If you're listening just to the Chiefs content of this show, at the end of this, you're probably going to just be out of show for today. We'll be back tomorrow. But I really think what we do next is going to be even better than what we've done so far. Search Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts. And at the beginning of the second hour, you will hear my 8-year-old sister, Chloe, picking her NCAA tournament bracket. We're doing that 15 minutes from now. But let's talk some more Chiefs things. I read all the comments that are here on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page, and I love it. There's some little battles, and there's some snark, and there's some good questions. And it makes me very happy, including RJ asking, why do apples taste so much better when someone else cuts them for you? I haven't noticed that. But I'll keep that in mind going forward. A bunch of stuff right now in the comments. One thing that, and I'm sorry that I've lost names and everything already. It's kind of nuts today. One thing already that was stuck with me, though, was one problem I had with this is that it was money invested in Sammy Watkins instead of investing in the defense. And that brings us to the logical next part of this conversation. I think that's the right thing to question here. But the Chiefs also today signed inside linebacker Anthony Hitchens. He's coming out of his rookie deal with Dallas. They're paying him $9 million a year for 5 years. We don't know the guaranteed money. It will not be a $45 million contract. It'll probably be like, I don't know, 3 years, well, I mean 5 years, but probably around $30 million guaranteed would be my guess. Maybe more like a three-year deal. We don't know the guarantee yet, though, so take that with a grain of salt. But he's 25 years old. We keep going back to the youth thing here, and it's important that we do. Because if there's a type of inside linebacker worth overpaying, and this does feel like overpaying right now, but if there's an inside linebacker worth overpaying, it's this type of guy. Because he's a linebacker who can stay in your defense for all three downs, he can hit runners, but he can also keep Daniel Sorensen from ever getting on the field as a safety linebacker hybrid in the nickel again. He gets put into coverage a lot, he's very good there, and he had the highest run stop percentage among free agent linebackers in this free agent class, according to Pro Football Focus. That is a need solidified. It's Reggie Ragland, and it's Anthony Hitchens in the middle of this defense, and Hitchens is a better fit in the nickel than Ragland is, and it's okay, they're paying him more now. As much as I really like what we saw from Ragland last year, he becomes the second most important inside linebacker on this team. And that's good. Like, I'm happy with that. So that's a need out of the way. So now what? The Chiefs' offense is going to be a freaking hurricane heist now in theaters. So let's talk about the defense. Anthony Hitchens fixes the Chiefs' nickel problem. They still have the cap space to sign basically any defensive tackle on the market not named Ndamukong. And they need secondary help really desperately. I've left one thing off of this list, though, that gets brought up a lot. I've talked about it a little bit here, but I'll give you another minute or so. The Chiefs have surrounded Patrick Mahomes with a wealth of weapons and a decent offensive line now. And I've been against a big free agent guard signing, and I think Brett Veach agreed with me. Late round picks notwithstanding, I think we might be done talking about additions to the Chiefs' offense. A tight end, a second tight end, and a backup quarterback have to come in at some point. And Terrez Paylor said today that something's going to happen with running backs. He said he was surprised by that, but that's what he's heard. I believe Therese. But that notwithstanding, you let Parker Anger and Brian Witzman and maybe a late draft pick compete for that left guard spot, and then you let this offense go. Again, second tight end notwithstanding, Brent Celek got cut by the Eagles today. He's like 33, I think, but he's a former Andy Reid tight end. It would make sense if he would come in on the cheap and give you a stopgap if you don't draft a tight end. But for me now, and also on the offensive line, last thing on the offensive line for today, I guess, Alex Smith was never very good at keeping his eyes up whenever he was under pressure. Patrick Mahomes can handle some subpar guard play a few times a game. That's expected in his role as the Chiefs quarterback this year. But the secondary now is the place where I look, and the defensive line in the secondary, where I look and see the biggest problem. Kendall Fuller and Steven Nelson are ideally a 2 and 3. Right now that this team is 1 and 2, I think they're going to at least want to add another outside corner. Right now, I would put my money on the first two of the first three draft picks. The Chiefs have three draft picks in the second and third rounds. Their second round pick and then two third round picks, their own and Washington's, in the Alex Smith trade. Two out of those three picks, I think, are going to be secondary guys. Now, if a tight end they love is there, then maybe that's another place you get younger and you add that to your arsenal, but I'd be a little bit surprised. Maybe it's defensive line, but I think right now, I still think there's a chance that this team ends up with Muhammad Wilkerson. I think that's still on the table, where it's a 1 or 2 year deal at the most. He's got to prove it, and then he can go get a bigger payday next year if he doesn't get one now. I could still see the Chiefs going in that direction. They went that direction with Benny Logan. It didn't work out terribly well, but no harm, no foul, got you through a year. The secondary is where this team has to get younger. Tlaib is gone. Richard Sherman is gone. Malcolm Butler just signed with the Titans for a 5-year contract with over $61 million. That's breaking right now. Good Lord. The cornerback market is pretty much dried up at this point for things that are both feasible and desirable for the Chiefs. They should draft a safety and a corner with their first three picks this year. Now, if it ends up being a huge reach and they don't, then fine. But as far as positional need, I'm looking at defensive tackle and the secondary as the most important places here. Eric Murray is a fine part of the puzzle. I do not want him starting next to Eric Berry. Daniel Sorensen, same goes for him as well. Ron Parker's a better safety than both of those guys. They had to cut him for cap reasons. You need to get younger at safety and younger at number two corner. This is where this team continues to build for the future. And I think it's inarguable at this point. That's where I go now, and it's also I don't mind one bit the Sammy Watkins signing. So the Watkins signing, as we talked about earlier, helps the offensive line because the defense has to send some guys back a little bit to account for Hill and Watkins and Kelsey and all of these weapons. Makes it a little bit easier. One less guy for the offensive line to worry about. That opens up. You just continue to build this high-powered offense that Mahomes can run. That's how you win in the NFL right now. It's the easiest way to win, I would argue. You do have to keep building this defense, but I think this defense, and man, I wish Marcus Peters was still here, obviously. And we can talk about Brett Veach just for a moment. Brett Veach has made tremendous moves this offseason, both before and after the Marcus Peters trade. I still hate that trade with all my heart. And I think it is a failure that the Chiefs have to own up to, but I also think that Brett Veach is batting like 900 as a GM. Like, he has an incredible success rate right now for my interpretations of the moves he's made. But he's still lost Marcus Peters. That has to be addressed. And I think the Chiefs are going to have to do that early in this draft. Same for the safety playing next to Eric Berry and then eventually replacing Eric Berry. I'd also like to see this team add another pass rusher, but the coaching staff seems to really like Tano Passanio. D Ford is probably going to be here because it would be a surprise at this point if he passed his physical. So his contract becomes guaranteed. But you still look at what this defense was against the Titans. The offense is better right now than it was against the Titans, no question. The defense against the Titans, though, also might be better. The linebackers are better. The pass rushers are better because D Ford's coming back and you're going into year two of Tano Passanio. You need a defensive tackle, but other than that, what losses are there? If they haven't yet, they'll tend to Rakeem Nunez-Rocha soon, I would imagine. The secondary is where it's questionable. But also, the secondary is losing Ron Parker, but is gaining Eric Berry from that game. And they're losing Marcus Peters, but they're gaining Kendall Fuller. The problem is that the secondary wasn't good enough last year anyway. But I would say at this point, the offense has improved, and the defense is probably going to end up being about a wash by the time the draft is up. I didn't expect to be rolling through this offseason terribly optimistically, especially after they traded Marcus Peters. But right now, I am seeing the Chiefs seriously trying to put themselves in the best position to win right now. And again, they could win the AFC West this year. I'll probably talk myself into it before the season comes around. But they're not going to win a Super Bowl with the gaps they currently have in the defense. And I don't think they're going to be able to fill up the defense by season time. However, it's going to be a good team this year. It's going to be a fun team this year. I'm excited for this offense. I haven't said that about a Chiefs team ever. I mean, maybe ever. I mean, I'm thrilled. Learning curve, sure. Defense, sure. Super Bowl window 2019, fine by me. But man, this is a really good, really fun way to start the official league season.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.